Thank you. Hey, good morning, you guys. How is everybody? I got one head nod, an emphatic head nod. All right. Whew. Can you show the lyrics of the first song real quick? You have done great things. So during worship, I was just, are you ever in worship and your mind is just somewhere else? Am I the only one who does that? Throughout worship, I was just looking at these lyrics the whole time. I was thinking, come let us worship our King. Come let us bow at his feet. This one caught me off guard. He has done great things. Just let that, yeah, somebody's, yeah. Just let, he has done great things. Oftentimes in life, I realize where I'm at now is the fruit of a prayer that I was praying maybe 5-10 years ago. I got a yes, sir. What's the next lyric? See what our Savior, ooh. I don't know about you, but there was a time where I was not in Christ. I was not as fortunate as my 12-year-old daughter to grow up in a home where Jesus was already Lord. So I knew what it was like to be in the darkness, away from God. And so I have a testimony of coming out of darkness. My daughter has a testimony of never having to be in darkness. And that same Savior could be the Savior of both people with those two testimonies. Next, show, see how his love overcomes. He has done great things. Let's go to the next song. Let's go to the next song. Next song. Let's go to the next song. Father of kindness, you have poured out your grace. Ooh. You brought me out of darkness, and you have filled me with peace. Who in here has been brought out of darkness? Seriously. Me too. And then he filled me with peace. Next lyric. Giver of who? This week, that was me. Lord, he gave me mercy. My help in time of need. Lord, I can't help but sing. My goodness. Last song. Oh, sorry. Last song. Look at those words. Why would I worry? If you're in this place, why would I fear? You've taken me this far, and you won't leave me here. As Pastor Justin and the team was leading us in worship, I could have took like 7 laps around this building. Because these words were so captivating to me. That this is the God that we serve. He has done great things. Let's just sit in that for a moment. Just close your eyes with me and just sit in that for a moment. He has done great things. Just let that hit you. Just get in a posture of reception from God. He's a giver of mercy. My help in my time of need. Why would I worry? You've brought me this far. You will not leave me here. The good news for some of us today is there is no need to worry. The good news is there's no need to worry. The Almighty God has brought you this far, and he will not leave you here. You have been faithful. You have given him your all. He will not leave you here. God, would you come in this place? You said when two or more are gathered, you will be there. Would you begin to heal broken hearts right now? Those who may feel lonely, would you begin to comfort them? Those who are seeking you for a plan for their life, today, would you make that plan clear? Today. God, we thank you. Lord, you are why we've gathered. Would you continue to be with us? Amen. I wonder if there's anyone here who has, they call it in the old school days, they call it a testimony, where basically it's just, you know, someone saying, this is how God has been faithful. We heard one from a young woman this morning, but is there anyone else? If there's not, there's no worries. We can continue the gathering, but just want to give a moment. Is there anyone else who has a story of God's faithfulness in your life? Okay, we'll continue. If that comes up, share it with us. We want to know. This is our last week in our sermon series titled, Our Worship. And the whole series has been focused on like our, that's the key word, our. Last week, if you were not here, Pastor Bethany, she taught an exceptional message about butts, literally, but not literally, about every time we gather in worship, there's a but that's in the way. But God, fill in the blank of whatever that is. And that often can get in the way of your worship because you're it's always there. And so she gave us precept upon precept how to address all those buts. Today, in the last day of our sermon series, I'm going to talk about how to worship as a community. But first, I want to share a story with you. It's not about community, but it's a story that's relevant to the message. It's a story about my plumbing days. I used to be a plumber in Bible college. And yeah, a bunch of looks just went like, what? Wait, what? I find out something new all the time. So I used to be a plumber. And basically, I led a crew of some crazy folks. And in our plumbing days, we in New Orleans, we had to dig tunnels under people's houses. And our job was to change all their plumbing work underneath their houses. So the interesting thing about this plumbing work, there is two things. Typically, one of us was always assigned to knock on the door and say, under no circumstances do you flush the toilet. Because as we were under their house, putting glue and cutting all the pipes over there, you're literally this close to the pipe. And you're literally putting glue on there. And the worst thing you want to hear is, and as soon as you hear that, everybody just says, four, and you just move, and you can just imagine the stuff. I know, the stuff that comes out the pipe, right? So that was the first thing you didn't want. And I had many a days where that happened. The second thing that you did not want is usually if someone's pipes were busted really bad, the hole underneath their house was full of water. And we had like leather pants on that we would have to wear waterproof pants. And we had lights. And as you're walking under, sometimes the light would fall into the water. And literally, you would get, yeah. It was a tough work. But the one thing that was really important that I remember, I'll never forget this one day at work, I was at the end of the hole where as we're taking dirt out of the tunnel, we're throwing the dirt away. And I just kept smelling this smell at the end of the, like as I was throwing the dirt from digging out, and I just kept smelling the smell over and over and over. And it smelled so bad, I could not get rid of the smell. And I'm like, where is this smell coming from? And for like 3 minutes, and then I finally turned and looked, and there is this massive amount of poop, like right there, right under. It wasn't like under my nose, but like it was right on the platform. And that's what I've been smelling the whole time, poo. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit spoke and said to me, that's what sin smells like to me. It's ever in my presence. No matter how much I shake, no matter how much I turn, sin, that's how odious it is. Stop and think about that. Do you know that as believers, we carry an odor, a smell before God? Just pause. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. It says that we are living sacrifice. It says, therefore, my brothers, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as living sacrifices, pleasing unto God. This idea of this sacrifice, it comes from an Old Testament concept where they literally would put animals on altars and sacrifice them. And the Old Testament talks about that aroma goes up to God like a smell. Another passage, it's in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14. It says this. It says, but thanks be to God who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. So the question is this. Why would anyone think that whatever aroma we carry with Christ, why would anyone think that aroma doesn't come with us when we come to gather on Sunday mornings? Why would anyone think that aroma would not come with us when we gather at Sunday mornings? It does. Sunday morning gatherings, when we call it our worship, we're coming together as one. When I was a youth pastor, I was a youth pastor for 10 years. Those were some crazy days. And each time we would have a youth trip, we would have girls sleep on one side, guys sleep on the other side. Guys would play this game called Turtle. It was the worst game of my entire youth ministry years. In my youth group, we had one rule. It was don't be stupid. It's the only rule. We would ask the students, before you do something, think about this or ask yourself a question. Is it stupid? And the answer is yes, don't do it. That's the only rule we had. But it didn't apply for the game Turtle. And this is how the game Turtle worked. A group of guys, when we were going on a youth trip, they would eat beef jerky. They would eat anything with grains that would make them fart. Like that, they would just load up on red beans and rice and eat it and eat it and eat it. And then, in the middle of the night, they would all get in a sleeping bag. And then they would begin to pass gas. And the first person who would stick their head, because they couldn't take the smell, away from the sleeping bag, Turtle, you're out. Yeah. And when we would come into that room, and when the youth leaders, when I would open that door and pull that door open, it was like, my God, the collective odor of that room was so powerful. And I don't mean like God powerful. I mean like it will knock you out powerful. It's called the collective odor of a room. It's the same thing when we gather. What do you think happens when a bunch of believers gather and God opens the door and comes over that sanctuary What aroma is going before God when we gather together as a collective? There is an aroma. And the thing that I want to talk about today, that I want to hinge on, is that our worship as a collective has a smell before God. Say that again. Our worship as a collective has a smell before God. And because I know so many of us in here love the Lord, because I know so many of us care about the Lord, when we gather as 21st Century Church, as a young church plant, one of the things that we want to establish is that we want our gatherings to be a place that gives a good, pleasing aroma before God when we come in here collectively as a whole. And what I want to share with you today is some good news about the opportunities that we have when we get to come together in collective worship. I'm going to share with you three things that I believe will really help us prepare when we come and gather as one, all right? So here's the first thing I want to share with us. Three things. The first one is this. Our corporate gatherings magnify God. Our corporate gatherings magnify God. What do I mean by that? Psalm 34:3 says this. It says, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together." The thing about a magnifying glass is when you put a magnifying glass and you're trying to magnify a pencil, the pencil does not get bigger. The magnifying glass is the thing that you use, and it makes the pencil look what? Bigger. So when the psalmist says, "Come, let us magnify the Lord together," we are not making God bigger. Worship in song is the magnifying glass that we collectively use to make God bigger. Amen? So when we gather to worship in song, when we gather together as a community, that communal gathering, that communal giving God praise is the thing that magnifies him, is the thing that gives a pleasing aroma to God, because he sees his children magnifying him together as one. That's good news. So for me, whenever I come to a Sunday morning gathering, literally it's oftentimes the night before or even on my way here driving, I'm thinking I'm going to magnify the Lord with my brothers and sisters. I'm thinking I have something that I'm bringing into this atmosphere. I have an energy. I have a peace. I'm bringing something, and together we're giving a pleasing aroma to God because we're magnifying him together. So when that psalmist says, "Oh, come and magnify the Lord with me," he's saying collectively, that's what we get an opportunity to do when we worship. Here's the second thing I want to talk about. When we gather together, we remain connected even during our worship gathering. We remain connected. In Matthew 6:9, Jesus prays this. He says, "After this manner, therefore, when you pray, say, 'Our Father, which art in heaven.'" That word "our" is so powerful. 1 Corinthians 12 talks about us as a body, that when we come together as a body, that we are a body. And so during our worship, it is not something that we do solo. It is something that we do together. We have our private, like, bedrooms where we can worship, you know, one-to-one and just before us and God. And that's important because God may have something in you for another brother or sister in the Lord when we come and we gather and worship. God may have, like, a word that's impressing on your heart. It might actually be a simple passage that he wants you to read, and that passage might be for the entire church. So 21st Century Church, we open up space for that in corporate gatherings, where if you have a word, if you have an encouragement, there's always someone leading prayer. Go share that with them, because God flows through the whole body corporately when we gather. We are connected when we gather. And that's why what you do and how we prepare our lives throughout the week, it matters greatly, 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 greatly. The United States has highways. And what are highways for? To to get from like one place to the other in the United States. Each one of us, according to 2 Peter, we are living stones in God's church. And it talks about God dwells in us by his Spirit. So watch how these two things play. When we gather together in worship, as I'm going through my week, as I'm preparing myself and saying, I'm going to gather with my brothers and sisters on Sunday, or I'm going to gather with them in worship, I am not like these youth students. I'm not eating beef jerky. I'm not coming to the service farting all over the place. Can I get an amen? I'm not loading up on junk food. I'm not taking into my eyes things that will defile my body. Job said, with my eyes, I have made a covenant unto the Lord that I will not sin. I'm treating people with kindness. I'm treating people with peace because I know I'm gathering with the Lord's people one day. And that's why the Bible says how blessed it is when brothers get together in unity. It's like the oil that flowed down a priest named Aaron. And that oil is the presence of God. That oil is the anointing oil that can break yokes, that can break bondages. And Jesus is saying, when my church gets together as one, whole, clean, spotless, a beautiful bride that has no aroma of sin, that has no aroma from the world, I will flow like a highway through each and every one of them. And I will bless them, and I will heal them, and I will restore them. Can I get an amen? Jesus is coming from a bride who is spotless and is clean. He's coming for a bride that's holy. He's coming from a bride that's righteous. He's coming from a bride that is pure. And so these gatherings are a place like a highway where the Holy Spirit is flowing. He's moving. He's not just flowing through Pastor Justin, the worship leader. He's not just flowing through me. He's flowing through you. Any church that makes anything about one man or one woman, that is not the plan of God. The plan of God in Acts chapter 2 says, I will pour out my flesh upon all people. My Spirit upon all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. They will have dreams. They will have vision. And the Spirit will flow through them. And that's what happens when we gather. So for me, my worship begins on Monday. It continues on Tuesday. It continues on Wednesday. It continues on Thursday. It continues on Friday. It continues on Saturday. It continues on Sunday. And when I come here with the beautiful church, that's when we magnify the Lord together. And so you see, there is something powerful about gathering together in worship because we are connected. We're connected. We're connected. We are connected. Here's the third point I want to highlight about gathering together in worship. When we gather, we have an opportunity to offer God a pleasing aroma. My God, my God. Heavy is the head of those who wear the crown. Many people on a daily basis curse God. Just let that sit in. Many people blame God for the evil that happens in our world. And I'm not sure if you've ever been in a place where you've been accused of something that you know good and well you didn't do. Don't feel good. When we gather, we have an opportunity to praise God with a joyful and pure heart and say, God, I know other people may be cursing your name, like Job told his wife. Why don't you just curse God and die? But today I won't curse you. I know there are many people today that maybe you didn't answer a prayer and they don't have a praise for you, but like Job said, though he slay me, still I will praise him. You see, when we gather on Sundays, it's an opportunity for us to actually show God that we have sanctified this Sunday gathering. We have carved out a place in time just for God to worship him together, collectively, that no matter what happened during our week, no matter how the things went, God, we will give you praise today. We will put a smile to your face by our pure heart and worship that says, though you slay me, I will praise you. That no matter what the situation in our life, we still give you praise. That's exciting, church. That's exciting to know that literally I have that kind of influence. And if you remember the story in Job, when Satan was looking to accuse, he said, have you considered my servant, Job? Job know, God knows who and where his people are. And could this be a place on a Sunday morning gathering that when we gather together on a Sunday morning, God says, I'm showing up at that place. They smell good. Throughout the week, they've been eating good. They've been consuming good. They've been eating of my word. Their talk, they've been blessing people. They've been building people up with their mouth. And so when they come in here, their hearts are not far from me. These people love me. And I believe we do. I believe we do. So those three things. When we gather, we magnify God, one. Number two, like a highway, we remain connected even during our worship. And God can flow not just through the leaders, but he can flow through you. Number three, when we gather, we have an opportunity to magnify God. There's this passage, some of the things that happen when we gather that it's real, and Pastor Bethany talked about it yesterday, it's addressing all the things that hinder us from worship or getting away from us from worship. I want to highlight something really, really important with that. It's in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, and it says this, Lamentations 3, 22, it says this, the steadfast love of the Lord, what's that word? Never ceases. Address kind of the buts, the things that's in our heart, never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. They are new. So like every single morning, for no matter what happened throughout the whole week, when we gather this morning, just like there's a collective odor, there is a collective mercy of God that is new every morning for us to receive. In the Old Testament, God, he told Israel, he said, I want you to go out every day and I will feed you. And he said, don't store anything left over. You can read this story once you get him. Don't store anything. I have something fresh for you today. So when we gather on Sunday mornings together to worship collectively, God has something, just, oh man, goodness, just think about that. He's got something fresh for you today, right now, for your future. His mercies are new. His grace is new for you every single morning to direct you and to move you. You know, it's interesting. When God wants to use a person, he gives them instructions first. Say that again. When God wants to use a man or a woman, he gives them instructions. And then the second thing that triggers is they have to put faith behind the instruction to follow. And then the third thing that triggers in the following, the power comes. Jesus never taught anybody, he never conducted healing services. Like, this is how you pray for people to get healed. He's like, look, I'm calling you to go. I'm going to give you power to heal and go. And they went. And so when you gather together in corporate worship gatherings, God has fresh manna for you for the directions that you have if you would just draw a little bit closer. One of my favorite passages, I'm going to share it in a moment, but it has to do with this. I'm going to show you a sundial, and I'm going to close with this. This is a sundial, and the way that it works, it's like a primitive sundial. As the sun goes around, it triggers a shadow, And this is how they used to tell time. And that shadow would continue to click and click and click. And there's certain points in the year, where the sun is at its absolute zenith and it actually doesn't cast a shadow. But the reality of it, this shadow, it just keeps going. And James says something very, very interesting about the light of God in James 1, verse 16 through 17. This is what James says. James 1, verse 16. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. God's light casts no shadow. That means the brightness of his being is always available to us to step into it. So on a Sunday morning, when we gather, and these are things I'm sharing in this sermon, things that I think about. You know, when you work in ministry, Sunday mornings are something you do. You know, you're here. You live it. You gather together and worship. This thought gives me such great comfort that today, this Sunday morning, when I gather with my brothers and sisters, there's no shadow in God. I may experience something throughout the week that casts a shadow on my life. Come on now. But when I come into this place, my business may be experiencing something. My relationships could be experiencing something. Your finances could be experiencing something that may cast. Your children may be causing a shadow in your life. Come on. It could be your boss. It could be your studies. Something could be casting a shadow in your life. But to know that when I come in the house of God, the light that comes in this place casts no shadow. It's a light from the Lord. And I can step into that light and I can receive the light that will dispel all shadows instantly. I want to share a story with you. This story absolutely changed my life. And it's about stepping into the light. I faced a situation recently in my life, last month. Well, recently this year. Situation was so hurtful. This situation was so devastating through a relationship. And as I was coming to worship every morning, I just came in like I always do. I step into the light. I step into the light and I come in worship. Step into the light and I come and worship. I step into the light and come and worship. And as I was stepping into the light to come and worship, as I brought the darkness of this shadow with me, the feelings, the things that we were going through, the Lord shone his light and revealed two things to me. Here's the first thing he revealed to me. He revealed to me what love is. He revealed to me what love is and what true forgiveness is. You see, as we walk with God, love that we have for God, to truly love our brothers and sisters in Christ, we don't love other people for what they do or what they don't do. That's called fish love. You know what fish love is? Dude catches a fish, says, I love fish. He's eating the fish in front of the rabbi. Rabbi says, dude, you love this fish? You love this fish. You went into the water. You got a fishing pole. You put a hook on it. You took this fish out of its home. You cut his neck off. Then you stripped him. Then you put him on a pan. You put butter on, and now you're eating it. You love fish? You don't love fish. You love what fish does for you. Makes you feel good. Fish love. God's love says it's set at 100%. I don't love you for what you do for me. I love you because I love you. And that's why he told his brothers, a new commandment I give you, love one another. By your love, the world will know that you are my disciples. And as I stepped into the light in that moment of worship, God gave me something that allowed me never, ever, 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 ever not have love for another brother or sister in Christ again. As I stepped into the light consumed the dark shadows and brought me into the light to show what true love is. True love is you don't love people for what they can do for you. You love people because you do. That's love. You see, worship corporately, it's about being transformed corporately as a body. When we all gather here and we go before the great Father of lights and he beams his light onto this place, there's a transformation happening. There's a revelation happening. There's an understanding happening in our lives that's casting out all shadows. And so this morning, God, we thank you that we have an opportunity in this amazing country you've put us in, that we get to worship freely. God, thank you for this country. Thank you that we get to worship you freely without persecution. And so, Lord, as we close this morning, the one thing that we're asking you as a church, the one thing that we're asking is like that connected highway. Would you flow through this building when we gather and worship and do great things? Would you show your mercies to be new every morning when we gather? Lord, not just for worships and song, but when we gather for dinner parties, would you flow in love? God, when we gather, God, in our home gatherings, when we gather together as a church, would you just come and flow and let your light shine through this community? With heads bowed in this place, I just want to pray for everyone. Just if you could just assume a posture of prayer. You know, if there's anyone in here, there's a shadow that's cast, man. I don't want to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up either. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to call you up. But there's a shadow that's cast, and that shadow is eating you up. All you think about, this is how you know a shadow's eating you up. You think about it most of the time. If a shadow has been cast and it's eating you up, I want to pray for you this morning to receive God's love. And with that same love, let that love shine over that shadow. So is there anybody else, just maybe look at me, just slip your hand up. Is there something that's just creating a shadow that you're like, man, I'm done with this. I don't want this shadow anymore. You can just look at me once, catch my eye. I want to pray for you. Is there anybody else? I see one person. I see you. I see a second person. Come on, the Lord's going to shine. Is there anybody else? Oof. Two people. Lord, in this moment right now, those people that looked, would you let your light shine? Because you have no shadow of turning. Holy Spirit, right now, would you give them the gift of wisdom for this situation? Holy Spirit, would you fill them, God, with just absolute pure love? So that love could step into that situation. And as I'm sitting here praying, I feel like there's someone in here who you have gifts, and God wants you to begin to use those gifts to magnify him. And the word that I have for you is that whatever light that God has given you, don't put it under a bushel. And so if that's you, if you know the Lord has placed some gifts in your life, if you know he's placed some stirrings inside of you, I feel like the Lord is telling you to stir up the gift of God inside of you. Don't hide it under a bushel. Cincinnati needs it. So God, would you stir up the gifts in your church this morning? You are the Father of lights. We are the children of light. And when we gather to magnify you. God, thank you for this morning. We pray that our worship smells good to you. Amen. Amen. Will you stand as I give the benediction? If you're able, we'd love to see you join us at dinner parties this evening. It's going to be at Vineyard Central in Norwood. As you go this morning, may God's light shine upon your hands that you produce your work with. May God's light shine upon your eyes that you can see his glory in everything this week. And may his light shine upon your heart so that out of it flows his light to people. Go in peace. God bless you this morning. See you.